message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you joined us today. We trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a blessing and help to you. You know, there's a question that comes sometime when you're studying the Word of God, and especially when you study the way we do, where you're looking at the details and the doctrines and going over the verses and studying in some depth. And that is, does the Bible really have a message for the nasty now and now? You know, the Bible talks about the sweet by and by, about having eternal life when you die and going to heaven when you die and eternity future. But what about right now? I talked to a friend of mine just a few days ago, and he was sharing with me a testimony about the fact that when he got saved, it came about as a result not of focusing on the fact that he was going to die one day, and whether or not he's going to go to heaven when he died. He told me, he said, I wasn't dying. He said, I was just trying to get through the day. And he found out that the Bible had a message not just for eternity. It does that. And let me say to you, if your religion and what you have your confidence in can't tell you where you're going when you die, it ain't worth a dead horse. You need to get rid of it and get something that can. And the Word of God, of course, can tell you that, because when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, He died to pay for your sins, for all that's wrong with you, and was raised again the third day as the author of eternal life. And that life is everlasting life. But that everlasting life that you receive when you trust Christ as your Savior, if you'll remember the statement made many years ago, I read this by an Englishman. He said that Jesus Christ gave His life for you at Calvary, that He might give His life to you when you trust Him, that He might then live His life through you on a daily basis. And that's the essence of what the Christian life is all about. And if you'll just remember that the life that's going to last for eternity became yours the moment you trusted Christ, you'll see immediately that the Bible does deal very definitely with the now and now. Not just the sweet by and by, but the life that lasts for all eternity is ours right now. It becomes yours the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible indeed does have a message for today, and today in your life. In fact, there's a verse of Scripture that we're going to study today. We're in Romans chapter number 8 in our study series. And there's a verse in Romans 8 that Dr. Henry Gruby used to call the soft pillow of the Bible. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That verse of Scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, has been for many a tremendous comfort in difficult times. But you know, in order to understand that verse, you've got to be able to take the Word of God and study it. Because you don't take your life and try to figure out what's going on in your life and then make the Word of God conform to your life. Rather, what you do is you study what God says in His Word. And having understood what He says in His Word, you'll find that the truth of God's Word will be confirmed in your experience. But you start with Bible study. So let's study the Bible together here for a little while. In Romans chapter number 8, the Apostle Paul is dealing with some things that the believer knows. And we know these things by faith. In fact, he says something else in verse number 22. Romans 8:22. He says, we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also. Now, we know that by experience. By experience just of living day in and day out, we know something about life on planet Earth. We know that the whole creation groans and travails together in pain. The fact is that if you live on this planet, and maybe you're young and you haven't had many problems yet, but you know, like the man said, the older I get, the younger everybody else seems. And the longer you live, what the verse says is that the whole creation, you and all your kin, groans and travails in pain together. until now. The prediction is you're going to get old, you're going to get sick, you're going to hurt, and you're going to die. You know how you know that? Just pass any cemetery. Now, I know that folks say, well, you know, you shouldn't have pain, and you shouldn't get old, and you shouldn't be sick. You know, God doesn't want you sick. Well, you know, the health and the healing preachers, whether they're in the church or whether they're out in other kind of religions, the idea of all this healing business and the healing campaigns, the problem with the healing campaigns is that the death rate is still one apiece. I talked to a fellow one time who was a so-called healer, and he was telling me, and we were on the radio, in fact, and we're discussing this, and he said publicly out over the airways that he had healed a man. He'd gone to the hospital and healed a man so that he could die in peace. And, you know, that's ludicrous. You know that, and I know that. But when a preacher says it, you know you're supposed to say, ooh, that's profound. That's not profound. That's just nutty is what that is. And when somebody says to you they heal somebody so they could die in peace, you misunderstood. They didn't get healed, see? If they'd have got healed, they wouldn't have died. Disease, dis-ease, that means discomfort. We know by experience, by living in a fallen creation, that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together, and not just the lost world out there, but we ourselves, Paul says, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan within ourselves. So we share with creation the change and decay and all about, I see, as the songwriter said. In the midst of that, in the midst of that difficulty, and in the midst of a fallen creation, and in the midst of all of the difficulties and calamities and diseases and difficulties that come because of sin, Paul says, by experience we know that, but by faith we know something. By faith in God's Word, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, as I said, that verse has been called the soft pillow of the Bible. In difficult times, that verse can get you through a lot if you understand it. Now, a lot of folks don't use it, and a lot of folks abuse it. Notice that the verse does not say that everything that happens in your life is going to be good. You notice that? It doesn't say that everything that happens in your life is good. This is not the power of positive thinking, you know. You know why the power of positive thinking doesn't work? You know, life can be beautiful, everything that's happening is good, I'm getting better and better in every way, every day. You know why that doesn't work? Because it just isn't so. There are some circumstances you can get in your life, and there just isn't anything beautiful to think about it, you know. Think beautiful thoughts, life can be beautiful and all. It doesn't work. And that isn't what the verse is saying. That verse is not saying, look at difficulties in your life and say, well, they're really good. And and it isn't saying the other side of that, that nothing but good things ever happen in your life. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God today, or you're not a child of God, maybe you have absolutely no interest in God at all, or maybe you're one, like the verse says, that love Him and are one of the call according to His purpose. You're walking in the will and purpose of God today. No matter which you are, there are only two kind of people in the world, saved people, lost people. And I don't care if you're saved or lost today, I can tell you something. There are a lot of things going to happen in your life that aren't good. There are a lot of things going to happen in your life that are tragic and that are heartaches. A number of years ago, I met a man who had a bad day one time. He lived in North Carolina, and he was in the yard cutting, raking leaves and cleaning up the yard. And he had his children were in the yard with him, and his little boy, about 3 years old, was there with him. And as he moved some logs and some brush, the little boy was helping him. And a diamondback rattlesnake reached out and bit his boy on the arm. And the dad immediately killed the snake with a hoe, but there's this little three-year-old boy, snake bit. He picked the boy up, screamed out to his wife what had happened, did some first aid, you know, the cutting and the sucking of the venom out, and ran to the automobile, threw the boy on the back seat of the car, got in the car, and raced back out the driveway to the road. And as he did, he struck with the automobile his 7-year-old boy who was playing on a bicycle in the driveway and ran over his son. Let me tell you something. That's what you'd call a bad day, isn't it? You know, they talk about bad hair days. That'd be a bad hair day. Once, one minute, you got a three-year-old bit by a snake, and as you try to take him, put him in, administer to him, put him in the car, take him to the hospital, and in your haste, you back out the driveway over your seven-year-old. Now, you know, you can go and comfort that man as he sat at the hospital with two badly injured children, and come and sit down in the waiting room with that man and put your arm around him and look him in the eye and say, think beautiful thoughts. Life can be beautiful. And you know, if he didn't just smack you right in the kisser, he ought to. He certainly wouldn't listen to you, because there is a dad and a mom and the heart throbs of sorrow over difficulties. That verse isn't saying that only good things come into the lives of people that love him. By the way, that particular man, I know him, and he was a saved man, loved the Lord, and the reason I was in the vicinity where he was when the things happened to him is that we were in a Bible conference. And that man was a worker and an elder in the assembly where the Bible conference was being sponsored. And he was serving the Lord in every way he had, in every capacity that he had, raising his family for the Lord. That wasn't a situation where he was someone who loved God and who was called according to his purpose. The verse isn't saying that only good things are going to happen in your life. And the verse isn't saying that everything that happens is good. The verse says that we know by faith, trusting in what God's doing, that all things, no matter what they are, work together for good to them who are the called according to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. It's important that you understand what the good is in the verse. The good which God is working all things together for is identified in the verse as being His purpose. Explained in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, predetermine that this is where they would wind up, predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. You see, the good for which that God is working into the life of a believer today is his good purpose. And his good purpose is to take the believer and to conform us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God's original purpose of making us in his image is what he's working in us. And all things, where the comfort in the verse is that no matter what the circumstances of life might be, no matter what the things in life that come your way might be. Maybe it's a tragedy like this brother had with his two children. Maybe you never experience anything that difficult. I pray that you don't. But all things are working together to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we don't have to be frustrated and upset when some of these things are harsh and difficult to understand and come into our lives in ways that seem to be tests and trials and burdens. But rather, we know that even those things are things that work together to accomplish God's purpose of conforming us to His Son. And we're going to talk more about that next time, but I want you to see this thing about this good thing that God's doing, this purpose that He has in the verse. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called, according to His purpose. What is His purpose? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. He purposed that this is what they would come to, what their destiny would be, predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. You see, God's purpose in the lives of believers is that you and I would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ultimately, what that's talking about is the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you and I, as members of His body, sharing in the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, sharing in His glorified resurrection glory. Galatians chapter number 1, for example, verse number 4. Galatians 1, verse 3 and 4, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins." Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins, "that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." In other words, the will of God the Father is that God the Son would die, would give Himself for us so that He might deliver us from this present evil world. That's God the Father's will. Ephesians chapter number 1. God's will is that you be delivered from this present evil world, that you not be a part and a participant in the world system about us, but that you be delivered from that world. Jesus Christ dies at Calvary. He dies there and He pays for our sin. Our sins are placed upon Him, and God pours out His wrath against our sin on the cross work of at the cross of Calvary. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become identified in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection. God Almighty takes you and puts you into the church, the body of Christ, and you become a part of the program of what God's doing. You become a part of the program of God's grace, and you become a member of the church, the body of Christ. One day, God's purpose is to take this body of believers who Jesus Christ has redeemed through His blood, and to take us, Christ is going to come back for us, and we're going to be, the dead will be raised and resurrected, and the living will be changed, and we will be caught up to be with the Lord, meet the Lord in the air, and then go out into the heavenly places and be with Him forever. That issue right here of the resurrection, where you and I are resurrected with a glorified body. We share in the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His glorification, resurrection glory, being conformed to the image of His Son. Now, get Ephesians chapter 1 in one hand and Philippians chapter number 3. Ephesians 1 and Philippians chapter 3. Now, this is a marvelous truth here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 9. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will," talking about God the Father. Paul says, now, in the dispensation of grace, He's made known to us the mystery of His will, a purpose that God had before the foundation of the world back here, a purpose that back here in eternity past, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had planned to perform and didn't reveal that purpose, kept it secret until it's revealed over here in Paul's ministry. But now that mystery purpose has been revealed and is being accomplished. "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted Christ." God the Father had a council meeting. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit meet together in an eternal life conference in eternity past, and they plan to form the church, the body of Christ. They plan to take lost sinners, Jews, Gentiles, bond or free, lost men, lost women, lost boys and girls, men and women of all stripes and all hues, and those who would trust Christ, place them by virtue of the death of His Son, the death payment here, and the life-producing resurrection, take those believing sinners and place them in the living oneness with Jesus Christ and identify them together in a spiritual unit of believers, call the church the body of Christ. And His purpose was then to take this body of believers and have them share in the glory of Jesus Christ throughout the ages to come. And you and I, by virtue of the fact that we are in Christ, have been given an inheritance in the ages to come out in the heavenly places in Him. Now, when you talk about the sweet by and by and that kind of thing, that's what we're talking about out there. This has to do with sharing His glory. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians 3, verse number 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior," talking about here we are now, looking for Jesus Christ to come from heaven, "who shall change our vile body." Here we are down here in a body of flesh. A vile body, it's called. It's a body that decays. It's a body that, well, if you go a couple of days without taking care of it with personal hygiene, you know how it can be. So he says he's going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That verse talks about him bringing all things under the headship of Jesus Christ. And the way that's going to be accomplished is by giving us a body of glory that we then will go out and occupy in the heavenly places and demonstrate his glory through us out there. You see, folks, God's purpose, his good purpose, is to take you and me as believers here, as you've trusted Christ, and deliver us into the glory of Jesus Christ in resurrection. God's purpose, you know, somebody says, well, do you believe in healing? The healing program for the body of Christ and the dispensation of grace is the resurrection, an event we call the rapture. An event when Jesus Christ comes back and takes the believer unto himself, and at that point changes our vile body and makes us conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's the first one that came up from the dead, and we'll come up in the line with him and follow him into that glory. Now, understanding that the issue in Romans chapter 8, when he says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Understanding that that's talking about all of the things in life here work together, and no matter what the situation and circumstances might happen in your life, these things point you toward that glorification and sharing that glory with the Lord Jesus Christ out there. Come back with me to Romans chapter 6 now, just for a minute, so you understand how this out here relates to where we are back in here. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 11. Romans 6, starting verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, read that verse carefully. That verse isn't talking about water baptism. There's no water in that verse at all. Somebody says, well, you know, it's anytime you see the word baptize or baptism in the Bible, if the context doesn't say otherwise, it's water. And if the context doesn't tell you that it's something else, then it's water baptism. And that's generally true. But if you look at verse 3 here, you'll see that the context tells you, the verse tells you what it is you are baptized into. And it doesn't say you're baptized into water. It doesn't say you're baptized with water. It says you are baptized into Jesus Christ, and thus you're baptized into his death. Now, you know that water, that being baptized into water, is not being baptized into Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ isn't water, and water isn't Jesus Christ. There's nothing figurative about this baptism. This is a baptism that accomplishes something. It puts you into living union and oneness with Jesus Christ. Now, there isn't but one way you can do that, and God's got to do that for you. A preacher couldn't, a priest couldn't, nobody else could. You can't do it for yourself. The only way you're going to get in contact with God himself and be placed into the person of Jesus Christ is for God to identify you there. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God places you into his Son, into living oneness with him. Now, having been placed into his Son, you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, listen, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That is, Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, his death became your death. His resurrection life became your resurrection life. Over here, you trust Him. You're dead to sin. You're alive unto God. He gave His life for you back here so He could give His life to you in here so that He then could live His life through you now. And the life that He lives through you here is the life that you'll have through all eternity in resurrection. You see, that resurrection life of glory out there is ours right now. And we are to live our lives now, the life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The life that I now live in the flesh is a life that is lived, as the verse says, we're to live, you're to yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. That resurrection glorified life of Jesus Christ lives in me now and is to live through me as I walk by faith, as you walk by faith in God's Word, as you take what God says in His Word and you take the truth of it and you rest yourself upon it, you have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand. The identity that God gives you in Christ by His grace becomes a living reality through you. You don't wait until you die and go to heaven to have eternal life. You have it right now as a present possession the moment you trust Jesus Christ, and it is His life that is designed to live through you on a daily basis as you walk by faith in the truth of His Word rightly divided. Not your circumstances, not your feelings, but confidence in the truth of what God says in His Word. Then you know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Thanks for being with us today. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thanks, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Bible's Soft Pillow. It's yours free of charge, and it's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal. If you simply write us here at the Message of Grace, the address should be on your screen now. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Or if you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 303. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet again next time for another Message of Grace.